Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
so could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
No, we don't play that game. I'm going to tell you what game we play in seconds. Good day, Canada. Good afternoon to the Eastern Canadians. Good morning to the rest out here in Western Canada. And to Canadian sports fans around the world, we're live on Game Plus Television. And also Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. And I want to just pause the comments coming in on the Facebook wall for a second, if you don't mind. When I say we don't talk politics, we're going to get into our quick six show topics here right away. But what we do talk about is what you want to talk about. And near the end of our last hour, hour one, I was saying, just write us with what you'd like us to talk about, because Darren and I and Clark and the whole crew here, we work extensively in junior hockey, amateur football, pro football, a variety of sports, lacrosse. And that's what I want. I want you to tell us what you want us to talk about. That's what's rare about this show.
Right.
Right? So in hour one, we were joined by Jamie Thomas, Winnipeg Jets radio color commentator, and we got deep into all the stories with the Winnipeg Jets that don't include Patrick Laine. So I would encourage you to go back and watch that. Coming up this hour, Hockey Hall of Famer Clark Gillies is going to join us from Long Island. This is very exciting because he was watching our World Juniors preview 2 weeks ago and wrote Clark and says, I want to get on this show again, because Clark's been on a couple times. Clark Monroe, our producer, was named after Clark Gillies, okay? So Clark, he's going to be with us from Long Island shortly. And he was voted, informally, by the Fighters of Saskatchewan, NHL Fighters, as the toughest guy to ever come out of Saskatchewan in the NHL. I want to ask Clark about that. So just before the quick six, Randy Robert Rath in Manitoba writes in and says, I love the guests that cover the WHL, MJHL, SJHL, the AJHL, and the BCHL. Always welcome news on them leagues. And from Mydale Mike watching, he says, junior hockey stories are my favorite. Well, we got a million. We're like a jukebox. You can put in a quarter, we'll tell you a story.
I like that.
You know, that's what we do. Like nobody else does. So anyways, we'll come back on all of that. Let's go to the quick six show topics, please, Director Jordan. The least heralded director in show business, Director Jordan, as he'll tell you. Number one, the number one topic on the continent right now is the protesters storming the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday. It marred the day. And even when I turned on SportsCenter on both TSN and ESPN this morning, plus Sportsnet connected, it was the lead story. But it's not going to be ours. We're not going there. It's not what we do. We try to have fun, put a smile on your face, and that's what we'll try to do. The Raptors are not putting a smile on anybody's face. However, they're the second worst team in the NBA, 0.2. They lost to the Phoenix Suns last night, 123-115, in the Valley of the Sun. It's led to our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Are the Toronto Raptors as bad as their record? I'm suggesting yes. And what's the vote, Dupes, out in front of you there?
58% say yes.
Yeah.
So it's expanded a little bit.
What did you say?
I said yes.
They're as bad. They're that bad, folks. I don't know what happened other than the big stars leaving. Serge Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard last year. And who was the third? The other free age big that went,
Marc Gasol's gone. I think the big thing is it's surprising, right? Because it's, you know, win a championship, contender for a championship, boom, basement. There's no fall to middle of the pack. When there's been that significant turnover, but they go from the top to the bottom.
Real fast. That does happen. Ask the 98 Florida Marlins. Colin in Ottawa, hang on. I'll come back to your comment. We're trying to get through the quick six here fast. So this will put a smile on your face. And I let a lot of these cats out of the bag last hour, but they'll be new to you. Point three is the last time the Cleveland Browns went to the playoffs, because they're going this year, but without their coach, Kevin Stefanski, who has the Rona. But they're going to the playoffs for the first time since 2002 in Cleveland. You know what was going on in 2002? Do you know? I love this kind of thing. Do you love it as much as I do, or am I just showing my age here?
No, I do. I love it because I love going back. Absolutely.
I've always loved when people do this, and nobody does it anymore, so now I do it. Look back at history. Here's what was going on in 2002, the last time the Cleveland Browns made the NFL playoffs. Number one, the number one song in the land was Nickelback, How You Remind Me. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
The startling thing to me is that seems like it was last week. Not 19 years ago. When Nickelback was the biggest thing on the planet.
They were the Rolling Stones.
This was before the hate came.
Band of the decade.
Right. The number one country song at ACC, American Country Countdown. Number one, Keith Urban, Somebody Like You. I just love it so much. I love it so much. Just when it hits my ears, I love it so much.
I can hear the guitar.
That seems, incidentally, by last week, like last week as well. Greatest concert I never saw was Keith Urban at Craven. Apparently, I was there. Number one at the box office in 2002. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Yeah, I'll have to take your word for it, because I don't think I went. Lord of the Rings is not my thing. I thought that was a curling Bond spiel.
Yeah. Roar of the Rings. But yeah, same thing.
Viewer Darren Bradley, nicknamed Caesar, writes in. He says, who was the first overall NHL draft pick in 2002? I don't know. What do I look like? Google, look it up.
Oh, man. I was going to say Patrick Steffen.
Clark is telling me Rick Nash. And you're saying Steffen. I don't know. Look it up yourself. What do I look like? Wikipedia? From Greg Klevgaard. You're right, Rod. Time flies by fast. I said that to Lynch, John Frenzy. I said to him, do you just ever have these moments where you just go, where did the last 20 years go? And Frenzy goes, it only gets worse.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I know.
It was Rick Nash. To me, one of the biggest disappointments. I'm sorry. He's been on all the Olympic teams.
Yeah.
Never seen him in a Stanley Cup final. Maybe he's just been saddled with bad teams. I'm not sure. Moving on. Oh, and who was the Prime Minister of Canada in 2002? It took this Rudy Poo a long time to get it. I wouldn't have either.
I was going between Harper, Martin, and Chrétien. I just didn't know if it was towards the end of...
It was Jean Chrétien.
Jean Chrétien.
Jean Chrétien.
I got it.
And from the Ryder fan, Brian Eitnauer writes in, he says, 2002 was very early in the Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett era. Seems like a million years ago, but also feels like yesterday. That's what I'm saying. Time warp stuff. And if it wasn't for the pandemic, we'd never be thinking about this. Point four, NHL training camp notes. Chatted with Clark about this, producer Clark, and that is, I said, let's open up the Rolodex. I'm watching SportsCenter up here, and they're talking Habs, Leafs, Flames. I'm sure tonight on SportsCenter it'll be Oilers, Jets, Canucks. Of course, it's Canada. I said, let's delve into the American NHL cities. Colorado Avalanche are picked to be the number one team to win the Stanley Cup. Let's see what's shaking in Denver. You're not going to get that coverage here. You just aren't. And one NHL GM, I think it was Tree Living in Calgary, of all the coverage that I've read in the last 24, 48 hours, said, you think a slow start in an 82-game schedule can be fatal? Which it can. What do you think a slow start in a 56-game schedule will do? So it makes these games so important right out of the gate. I cannot wait. It's 6 days away. Point five, a viewer wrote me, his name's Ryan Douglas. He said, Rod, what do you think about a CFL 50-50? Raised a lot of money at the World Juniors. What did it reach, Darren? 8 million?
10.
Was it
10? 15, the one was closer to 15. It was 14-something, I think.
So they had multiple 50-50s?
Every day. It was, and then they didn't get claimed, so the whole pot was split up. They started at $1.9 million for the two subsequent games, the semifinals and the finals. It was unreal. Unreal.
Well, the guy was saying, hey, if the World Juniors can raise this kind of cheese, why doesn't the CFL do a 50-50? And I said, good idea. I don't know what the rules are. I know that it's been very difficult for certain groups, teams, leagues to get 50-50s off the ground.
Yeah.
Some have been able to. Some have not. He said he had written the CFL and got no response. Well, I don't think about that stuff anymore. I think about who our guests are going to be on this show, what we're going to talk about on this. It's not my thing anymore.
Yeah.
So fundraising ideas for the CFL, send them along. But I don't have...
Just made me think about it. I mean, the 50-50, they can do it in Alberta, but it's hard to do it nationally. I don't know if there's a national way to do it. But if you partnered with lotteries and you did like a CFL scratch and win contest, that'd be cool. You won season tickets. You won, you know, and you raise your money that way. That would be neat. But it's a lot of work to build that program.
Work. People don't like work.
Who's willing to put in the work. But that would be cool. You won a hat.
From Chris Clark watching, he is from the unofficial Regina Pats podcast. He says, I'd love to hear an Avalanche preview. Enjoy the jerseys, Rod. He's the guy that I bought my Warriors and Pats jerseys from the Pats Outdoor Prairie Classic and a Warriors Road jersey. I'm looking up because we've put them in the rafters here, Chris. I went and bought these from him on, what was it, Tuesday? Not going to tell you how much. Certainly not going to tell my wife. And I wish we can't angle the cameras to show where they're up in the rafters here, okay? Displayed prominently.
I'll see if I can see.
And Chris said on Twitter, I'm glad they went to a good home. He knows how much I appreciate these jerseys. The Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto yesterday wrote in and asked if I would donate the jerseys to them. It put me in an awkward position, Darren. How about no? At least not yet. I was watching John Liu, our good friend John Liu from the Montreal Canadiens training camp the other day. Don't at me. Don't be mad at me. But is it not a little overboard that the Habs have the jerseys hanging, retired jerseys in the practice arena too? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Isn't that odd?
That is a little weird.
Do you think it's odd, Clark? He's thinking about it. He says he's okay with it. I mean, you got it in the Centre Bell. Why do you need to have it in the practice rink? I get it. You guys are skating around looking up on the rafters. I'd like to be there one day. But I don't think you need it in the practice rink. Corey in Winnipeg says, an idea for guests. Bring on SJHL coaches. The greats. Dean Brockman. Don Chesney. Jamie Fiesel, Bob Beattie, great coaches from the past. Always great stories. Well, if they don't end up playing, we might end up doing that for story time because I enjoy those stories too. What was the comment from Colin in Ottawa? Did you guys save it, by the way? And if you didn't, that's fine. Colin in Ottawa was saying something along the lines of what a shame it would be two straight years without the Memorial Cup being handed out. Shame doesn't even begin. Travesty. I was talking to a guy the other day about, here's the comment. Clark's putting it up. Colin in Ottawa says, we're going to be into the second week of January and we still have no clue if there's going to be a CHL season this year. Man, 2 years without a Memorial Cup is so sad. Well, don't waste your emotion being sad about something you don't know about. I'm starting to get more optimistic that there will be a major junior season in Canada, so don't spend your days sad right now. But it's an interesting dichotomy. You see, I'm not talking about COVID anymore and restrictions. Have you noticed?
Right.
It's not even a New Year's resolution. I was playing with a junior player the other day, and he said, skating with him, and I said, you had to give up your career, right? You had a scholarship. He's like, yeah. He's moved on. He's going to be a fireman, and he's probably in Texas now. He was going down to start his training. And I thought, for a 19, 20-year-old, it's tragic. And there was a hockey guy I was visiting with in another conversation. And I guess what the COVID paranoid people say is, well, at least he didn't die. You know, that's a win because you didn't get COVID and die. So your career's ruined, but at least you didn't die. And the guy said to me, we were just sitting over coffee, right? And he goes, well, his career died. To a 19, 20-year-old hockey player, it's the same thing.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. I'll move on. Point six, because I'll just get very upset. Spit and Chicklets yesterday. Paul Bissonnette on the show. Played just over 200 games in the show with Pittsburgh and Phoenix. And now he hosts the Spit and Chicklets podcast with Ryan Whitney. And it's the biggest thing in the world. Paul, in hockey world, Paul Bissonnette has 1.1 million Twitter followers. My wife and I got in a discussion last night. I said, is he the biggest guest we've ever had? Based on Twitter followers, yes, he is. The younger generation just thinks this guy walks on water. Don Cherry, Ron McLean, Clark Gillies, all big names. And maybe Grapes is the biggest guy we've ever had. My question is, who decides who's the biggest guest you've ever had? Yeah. That's how we started this whole conversation. And people say they like all the guests for the for what they all bring. But between Spit and Chicklets on those guys and Pat McAfee, who was voted the NFL's top media personality in 2020, we looked into this just this week. He's digital only. I mean, yes, satellite radio's picked him up, but he is an internet show only, and he's the biggest thing in the NFL. And Spit and Chicklets is the biggest thing in the NHL. Trust me, it is. Like the other night, Canada-USA World Junior Final, after every period, they're going on live. They're a couple beers in, giving their analysis of what Canada needs to do, what the U.S. needs to do. I would rather watch that.
Yeah.
Because they're not handcuffed by anything. They can say whatever they want. It's just true analysis. And what I admire the most about all those guys, you know, they're a little bit younger than me, so I'm the older guy speaking here. They're an inspiration to me because they've shown you can just be yourself. You don't have to be the primped and propter suit and tie, you know, the gelled hair, slick back, clean shaven. Just be you. There's a market for just being you. And there's nothing wrong with those guys, you know what I mean? The primp and proper suit and booty. But that's just not me. It's never been me. And the fact that those guys are being so successful, just being themselves, I'm so proud of them, and I've told them all that. This is the warm-up. We're going to be back in a second with Clark Gillies, and I'll get to your comments here from the viewers, by the way. You are watching Coast to Coast in all 10 provinces and 31 states on the Game Plus TV network. And now live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the old RP show, everybody. I'm just calling up Clark Gillies' stats here. Get him like that. We got the Hockey Hall of Famer here, Clark Gillies. I can't imagine anybody wouldn't know. But, man, look at only 958 NHL games. Four Stanley Cups with the New York Islanders. A Memorial Cup with the Regina Pats. And the man for which our producer, Clark Monroe, was named, Clark Gillies, joining us from Long Island today. Look at him looking like $1 million. Happy New Year, Clarky.
Thanks, Rod. Nice to be with you guys. Got some exciting things going down here in the United States. I hope it's a little quieter up in Canada.
Look, we resolved to not talk politics today, Clark, or any day for that matter. Are you safe, by the way? Are you good where you are, the whole crew there?
Yeah, we're quite a ways from Washington, D.C., so yeah, we're fine. It's been an interesting 24 hours. There's no question about that. But yeah, we're good. Everybody's trying to stay safe and sound. We got a lot of COVID going on around here, so we're pretty careful where we go on a daily basis, but so far so good.
I bet that you are. Hey, I got so many things to get to. When I saw your message come into the show about coming on, I was so excited. Clark, we had an informal poll a couple months ago about who's the toughest guy to come out of Saskatchewan in the NHL, and the fans had their say, but when I put it to the actual fighters like Tiger, Coasters, they said Clark Gillies. And I mean, wow. you're not gonna argue that, but how does that feel?
Listen, it was part of my makeup. Just have a lot of fun duking it out in junior and carried it on a little bit to the NHL. It was a part of the game. I wouldn't say it was the most fun part of it for me, but I certainly didn't mind once I got into it. But was I the toughest? There's a lot of tough guys. I mean, you got a bunch of guys like Joey Kocur and Wendell Clark and oh my God, you can go down the line. But nice to be part of that group. Did what I had to do, Rod. That's all it really comes down to.
Well, I know that, but my point is over your shoulder. It's not a photo of you knocking out Dave Schultz. It's a photo of you guys celebrating with a Stanley Cup. My point is you probably are the toughest guy ever, but you don't celebrate that like some guys. Right? That's not really what your hallmark is. Yeah.
No, I always tell everybody my main concern when I got to the rink was scoring 3 goals, which only happened a couple of times, but where scoring a goal was important to me. The fighting was always secondary. Whenever I did fight, it was usually to protect a teammate or possibly get things stirred up once in a while, but mostly protecting my teammates. And that's kind of the way I went about it in junior too, playing with Mike Wanchuk and Denis Sobchuk. Kind of took it upon myself to protect those two guys a little bit, and then it carried on with Bossy and Trache with the Islanders. So, but we had a lot of good fighters. We had a lot of good leaders on our team with the Islanders, especially that could take care of that stuff. So I didn't have to do as much as maybe people thought I would. I think I only had 14 years I played. I think I had 55 fights, which is not a lot compared to some of these guys.
Yeah, but probably 55-0, and I won't get into that. You'll love this, though. I was playing outdoor hockey the other day, and I didn't even find out till after. Somebody texted me and said, that guy that was skating at the other end of the ice was Mike Hrazny, but he's all bundled up.
Oh, really?
I didn't even recognize him, from your Pat's Memorial Cup days. Listen, you've brought up Junior a couple times, so let me ask you this. You and I have discussed many times how proud you were to win a Memorial Cup and the bragging rights that come with it. What about USA winning the World Junior Gold over Canada? Would a guy like you take some ribbing in America in the last couple of days?
You know what? I had a couple of bets. One with a buddy of mine up in Toronto, and he obviously wanted the Canadian team. And I said, I'll take the U.S. team. I had a couple of bets in the office that Canada would win. So I have gotten a little ribbing from the guys here. But, I watched good amount of the game. It was on late here, so I watched most of the first period. I think I dozed off in the second and woke up for a whirlwind of a finish with about 12 minutes left. And you knew it was going to be a pretty good hockey game when you got the two best goaltenders in the World Cup or the World Juniors, and two of the highest scoring teams. So it was going to be a toss up of what it turned out to be, a very low scoring game. They competed tremendously. I couldn't believe the energy level that both teams put forward in that game, and it was entertaining to watch the parts that I was up for.
Really, all we can ask is entertainment. It was fast. It looked like an NHL game. Both those goalies, by the way, belong to the Florida Panthers. And I remember when I broadcasted the World Juniors, I was like, oh, like 2 minutes in, I'm like, whoa, I better pick it up here. This isn't your normal junior game. Zing, zing, zing. Yeah. It's very skilled. Clark, just before we get to the Islanders and an outlook for this year, I don't know how your American New York TV stations have filled time in the pandemic. In Canada, they've been re-airing classic Stanley Cup games for like 9 months. And there's been a lot of Oilers-Islanders games. And man, I watched them live. But to go back and look at it again, you want to talk about a war? It was a war, Clark. It was take no prisoners, man.
Those were pretty intense. they reminded me a little bit of some of the early games I used to play against the Montreal Canadiens, especially back in the late 70s when they won the 4 cups in a row. Every time you played the Canadiens, it was going to be a high-level, start-to-finish type game. And that's the way it was with the Oilers. I think they had a lot of respect for us. We had a lot of respect for them. Wasn't a lot of crazy. There was a couple of things that broke out over the course of time, but wasn't a lot of crazy hockey. It was just, with regards to fighting and things like that, it was just good, clean, hard nosed, go at each other, and may the best team win. So it was always fun to play the Oilers. Certainly with Wayne and Mess and Goff, and those guys were great hockey players. And the two great teams going at each other was exciting.
Oh, so much fun to watch. Craig Campbell is watching, executive director of the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, Clark. He's watching right now. He says, Happy New Year to Clark. He kindly donated his Memorial Cup ring and 1980 Stanley Cup blue sweater, as well as other items, to the Hockey Hall of Fame. A big thank you once again. What did you think on that?
Like, yeah, that was... Sorry, that was a great event, and certainly a great honor. So the idea is to donate a couple of things. One quick funny story: I donated the skates that my last skates that I wore, and when I came to play in the Hall of Fame game, I had a brand new pair of skates on, and I could barely skate in those new skates. So that was one night I wish I had my old skates back. But it was a great experience, and I was glad to donate that stuff to the Hall.
One more from the old days. The one game I was watching in the Stanley Cup final, you were wearing a lid, an SK-2000. And it's hard to find a photo of Clark Gillies wearing a helmet. And I didn't think you wore it with your Long Island days, Clark. Yeah, what led to you putting a helmet on finally?
I don't exactly remember when I was playing for the Islanders. I fooled around with a couple of different helmets, with a Jaffa helmet at practice. And then a CCM helmet, I think it was, at practice. And I finally decided to wear it a little bit. I did wear a helmet my last year I played in Buffalo. I wore a helmet. And the reason being is that there were a lot of big, big young kids out there that wanted a piece of Clark Gillies. And I said, you know what, if you're going to be hitting me in the head, you're going to be hitting me with a helmet on. Because I'd gotten in a few with a couple of these young guys, and I had some welts on my head. And I said, you know what? I don't need this, so I'm going to wear a helmet. But that was the only reason I wore it the last year I played. And I guess it was in self-defense, because I figured if you're going to hit me in the head, you're going to cut your knuckles just like I'm cutting mine. So it was, as I said, self-defense, and I think it helped a little bit.
Glenn Erickson's watching. He's in Red Deer, right, Darren? He says, I remember great times in West Kelowna when Clark Gillies was part of the group of Bob Bourne's fantasy camps. Always enjoyed Clark and the guys visiting with us at the Shannon Lake Golf Club. You remember that?
I absolutely do. We used to have a blast out of Bourne's fantasy camp. Remember playing golf at Shannon Lake. Those guys were great hosts there. And we had a very good turnout. We had a lot of good guys there, right? That was... one of my fondest memories were two guys that aren't with us anymore, rooming with Dave Semenko and Dale Hawerchuk. Two great guys, a lot of laughs. Bobby Bourne put on a great show, and unfortunately we're not doing that anymore in Kelowna, but we did have a wonderful time.
Colin in Ottawa watching says, ask Clark what it was like to play for legendary NHL coach and great Sudburyan Al Arbour.
Oh, I don't think it gets any better than playing for a guy like Al. He was not only a great coach, he was a real father figure to me and a lot of the other guys on the team. Al, I think one of the great things about Al is Al was a player before he was a coach. So he kind of understood the goings on of us, of what we were doing on the ice and off the ice, which he kept pretty close tabs on us. But he could be a lot of fun. He could be nasty. But bottom line is he was a heck of a coach and a heck of a human being. And I miss him tremendously even to this day.
Wow. I should mention, by the way, it came up in my Facebook friends' birthdays. Your brother-in-law, Bobby Trumbly, celebrating a birthday today. So just in case you forgot, you might want to send him a message, Clark.
Happy birthday, Bob.
He watches every day, so the great Bobby Trumbly. And just with the Islanders, we had Eberle on a couple weeks ago. He could not stop smiling about what you guys got going on in Long Island. It's pretty exciting, Clark.
I'll tell you, Rod, this the new building, the UBS Arena, is beyond state-of-the-art. The ownership has taken great strides to put the best things in this building that they've found. In every, not only hockey arena, but every sporting arena, not only around this country, but around the world. It is going to have a little bit of everything. State of the art to the point where I think they actually said you'd be able to pour your own beer. I don't know how they're going to keep track of that, but it's going to make it very convenient to get food, get beer. To the sight lines on this new arena are tremendous. I've been to the new building a few times and been able to see firsthand what it's going to look like. Going to be something special. I can't wait till it gets open in October.
Okay, so please explain to me, because I've seen photos of it. Is this a renovated Nassau County Coliseum, or is it an entirely new place? What you guys got going on down there?
Well, they renovated the old Nassau Coliseum. They just put a new face on the outside, redid the new seats, and a couple of changes on the inside. But the UBS Arena is a brand new building. It's going to be built right next to Belmont Raceway. There's going to be a hotel next to it. There's three phases. The arena, I believe, is phase one. I think the hotel might be phase two, or there's going to be a retail shopping mall across the street, then the hotel. But it's a very big project, all part of the Belmont Raceway complex over there. The actual facade of the building looks kind of like the facade of the racetrack. So it's really neat the way they put it all together. Going to hold 17,000 people for hockey, 18,000 for concerts. Have the same feel as the old Coliseum. About 16,000 of the 17,000 seats are going to be in a lower bowl. So it's going to be loud. It's going to be enthusiastic. And I'll just give you an idea. The Islanders' dressing room in this new building is going to be 23,000 square feet. I think our dressing room at the Coliseum was 1,000 square feet. So it's going to be tremendous. And for those of you that can't relate to that, the ice surface is 20,000 square feet. So you can imagine you can fit a lot of stuff onto a sheet of ice, and that's how big their locker room is. It's going to be tremendous. High-end food places. Open air, one end of the rink is going to be an open air restaurant with food courts. You can stand, watch the game if you want. It's going to have a little bit of everything.
Here's the Canadian coming out in me. Who's paying for this?
Actually, it's a good question. And it's one that gets asked a lot because, taxpayers on Long Island, they don't like to give up their money very, very easily. This building is being privately built by the Islander ownership, headed by Scott Malkin and John Ledecky, and they are paying for half of it. And there's another group, but the OVG group is paying for the other half. So it's all privately funded. OVG builds a lot of arenas around the country. They actually built the new arena in Seattle. They're building the UBS Arena here and have other projects around the country. So they partnered with the Islander ownership. There'll be no public money at all in this building. So taxpayers are getting it for nothing. Fans are getting it for nothing. And they're going to be very, very impressed when they walk into this building for the first time.
That's amazing. I got a lot of people to see next trip to New York when we can, and a lot of things to do now.
Call me, and we'll. I have a lot of friends that have suites at the building, so we'll be treated in the fashion we're accustomed to.
That we deserve, Clark. Exactly.
Yes.
We're almost out of time, but we got two. Well, a couple guys want to know who's the toughest guy you ever fought, and another wants to know what was your favorite road rink. Can you answer those before we let you go?
Yes, toughest guy. Probably have to give credit to Terry O'Reilly. I had a lot of great battles with Terry. He was kind of a light heavyweight. I was a heavyweight, and he never turned down an invitation. And by the way, he started most of them. I'm not sure he finished them all, but he started most of them. And the favorite rink to play in, I really have to go back to my early days of my career, and the Montreal Forum was a very, very special place, the old Forum. First time I played there, we were on the ice at 10:30 pregame skate. I went and watched the Montreal Canadiens practice and I almost threw up wondering how I was going to keep up with Guy Lafleur and Yvonne Cornway. But it was a fun experience, and hooking and holding was sort of legal back then. You know, I want to add something too, Rod, before you go, and I want to thank you for having me. But I noticed you don't have a Clark Gillies bobblehead on the desk there, so there'll be one in the mail this afternoon or tomorrow morning, just so you can expect it in the next little while.
I love it. This is the.
And it does have a helmet on it, by the way.
I was going to say, does it look like you now, the earlier Clark, or does it look like something entirely different altogether?
You probably won't recognize it. It's something in the middle, but
exactly.
It is of me, and I put my signature on just to prove it, so you'll have it shortly.
Oh, we're deeply honored for that, Clark. This has been a wonderful catch-up, sir. Thank you so much. All the best in 2021, and here's hoping we see you sooner than later.
Well, I'm going to get home as soon as I can, Rod. As soon as this thing, the borders open up, I'll be there.
Good stuff. Thank you, Clark. Clark Gillies checking in from Long Island, one of the absolute all-time beauties.
It got me thinking even earlier when we were talking about it, and we can get back to doing banquets and getting out and stuff. We're going to put one on, and we'll brand it the world's toughest sports banquet. Gillies, Wendell Clark,
we can find
Tiger
him.
Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The toughest sports banquet.
We got a lot of comments coming in from viewers about that. We'll get to those when we come back. Sports update coming up and viewer takeover. You're watching the RP Show. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues after this on Game Plus TV, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube Live. And listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/ The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Great comments coming in from folks regarding the Clark Gillies interview. Randy in Manitoba. Wow, great interview. A true all-around hockey player and one outstanding gentleman. This guest made my day. Who is the one? There's a Glevgard. He's writing in some very nice comments today about our viewers or about our guests. Where's my bell? We got breaking. There it is. Great Clevgard. Absolutely enjoy. Oh, the new you, Rod, and didn't mind the old you also. Well, thanks for that, Greg. And he also has had a nice comments about Clark. But here's the thing. Darren said this a while back. He puts things in better perspective than I can. He says, people knew of you with the Ryder job. Now they're getting to know you with this job. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, you know, a lot of people know who you are, but they don't really know you.
Who I am.
Who you are, right? And now exactly. We can expose that. And, you know, you got to meet the world now, right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So the breaking news, as per Justin Dunk, RP Show CFL Insider, Derek Dennis has signed with the Edmonton football team. Derek Dennis. And this is quite an about face because just 48 hours ago, maybe, he said, because 2021 isn't looking so hot, I'm going to fire up the podcast game. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So something's changed. Derek Dennis has signed in Edmonton, and we're hoping to get him on the show tomorrow. And then from Major League Baseball, the New York Mets are acquiring shortstop Francisco Lindor and right-handed pitcher Carlos Carrasco from Cleveland in a multiplayer deal. Lots of reports on that. So Lindor is on the move going to the Mets. So it feels like what I put together as a sports update is old news already.
I know,
you know,
right?
But it's not. What's fun about this show is the live nature of it, Canada's only daytime sports talk show. That's why I'm confident that we're number one, because we're the only ones. We're also the worst, but don't tell anybody. Manitoba's acting deputy chief provincial public health officer says he's confident the Winnipeg Jets can play home games this season, while Ontario hasn't made a final decision on games in the province 1 week away from NHL's opening night. Dr. Jazz Atwal said Wednesday that Manitoba is confident things will move ahead as planned during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Office for Ontario's Ministry of Sport did not provide comment after repeated requests asking for information about Toronto Maple Leafs and Ottawa Senators games. Quebec, BC, and Alberta already have given their respective teams the green light to play at home. The Calgary Stampeders have re-signed Canadian kicker Rennie Paradis. The undrafted free agent out of Montreal's Concordia University will enter his 10th season with the Stamps in 2021. The native of Pierrefonds, Quebec, Won Grey Cups with the Stamps in 2014 and 2018. Stamps also re-signed Calgary-born receiver Colton Hunchak, signed American offensive lineman Leon Johnson, and announced American offensive lineman DJ Coker has exercised his right to opt back in for 2021. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have re-signed Canadian offensive lineman Josiah St. John. I was going to say Hosiah St. John. American receiver Carlos Henderson and Mexican offensive lineman Rene Brasilla. And German defensive lineman Theodric Hansen has signed a one-year extension with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So that is your sports update on this Thursday, Throwback Thursday. Brought to you by Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See it, Wendell's. For the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars. Now with eight amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha, RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. I think we got about a minute, so I don't know if we're going to face off now or in the next segment. Viewer William May says, I love the show because you cover everything and not just parts of sports that mainstream does. So thank you for that. I would next segment like to talk about junior hockey, and I don't know that it necessarily has to be a win or a lost face-off, but we can talk about what we think's going to happen in junior hockey.
Yeah, let's do it.
You let me know, Clark, the second that we can go to, he says we can go to a break now, so we'll do that, and we'll come back. Viewer takeover and face-off next. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to dive right into the deep end of the viewer takeover segment and then the face-off. Jim Wagner writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. He says, hello, RP Nation. Speaking of favorite things about the RP show, mine is just being here for shooting the breeze with the RP crew. The selection of guests is a cherry on top. Love me some frenzy for sure. Take care, all. That's from Jim. Metal Shingle Guy says, I wouldn't mind a June Jones interview. What's going on in the XFL? Dot, dot, dot. Well, right now, nothing. They're not playing till 2022. That's why y'all laughed 4 or 5 months ago when our poll question was, who plays first, the CFL or the XFL? Doesn't necessarily look that crazy right now, does it?
No, it doesn't.
From Ken in Saskatoon, in terms of the biggest guest you've ever had, do you think it depends on the type of media distribution? Don Cherry made his name on regular TV and built his following that way. Bissonette and Spittin' Chiclets has a different distribution method, which touches a different audience. All your guests are great. We get to see people we know as well as get exposure to new people in the sporting world. That's from Ken in Saskatoon. I guess, historically, we'll say Don Cherry's the biggest guest. But you know what? Talk to me in 10 years. It might be biz nasty then.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll still...
Faster, probably, than that.
Biz is, yeah, I mean, 5 years, whatever. But biz, he's a smart guy who acts dumb. Those are the guys you need to watch out for. Because there's a lot of dumb guys who will tell you how smart they are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, a lot. Not as many the other way around. Brady in Saskatoon says, Rod, the answer to your poll question is the Raptors are that bad. They've become increasingly worse after this offseason, letting two very valuable pieces walk and bringing in mediocre pieces. That's our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Are the Raptors as bad as their record? 1-6. We're all saying, yes, they are that bad. Are you jumping off the Raptors bandwagon? Oh, you did a long time ago. I'm sorry. Facing off on the junior hockey. I'm glad that we got some time here. 4 to 5 minutes to talk about this. we're learning in the pandemic the difference between the sports leagues. There's a lot of people in Canada that have held the CFL and the NHL very similar in terms of the regard for them. And you're realizing they're not close at all. And then the NFL is number one out of all of them. And then, for instance, if this wealthy private donor comes along and pays for the WHL to play, which I'm thinking is going to happen. I've heard now broken down to what it's going to cost per team to play and what the total price tag is going to be. I think it's going to happen. But they asked about the SJHL and the MJHL and the Alberta Junior Hockey League. That's just another kettle of fish. They're not all one.
No, they're not.
And that's my point, is a lot of people seem to think that they're all one. They couldn't be more different, every single one of those entities. They all have their own different budgets, business plans. They couldn't be more different.
They all play a different role in the game of hockey. And, you know, I've always said the junior A leagues, you know, have a better chance to play because they're restricted to their borders. So Saskatchewan can play, and, you know, you only have to worry about Saskatchewan's COVID protocols. Play your league, do your thing. Alberta, same deal, right? Either play or don't play. Quicker to get to a decision. Where you talk to the Canadian Hockey League, especially in the Western League, where you have six different jurisdictions, right, provinces and states to deal with, it's a lot more to get to. But when you look at private wealthy donors, now I'm not looking at that. I don't have inside information on that. But I go right to the NHL, right? That's my first thought, is if there's a party that has interest in stroking a check, why wouldn't it be the NHL? And not that they care. They don't care if a Western Hockey League championship's handed out or if there's a Memorial Cup. But they want those players to play because they want to have a draft in June, you know, and they want to be, or July, and they want to have some tape of players. They don't want to look at tape from a year ago or 2 years ago. They want to be able to scout them now. So whether it's get everybody in a room and play a mini tournament, whether it's, hey, play 28 games or 25 games or a university-style schedule, we want to see them play because we need to scout them to draft them into our system. So we'll pay a little bit. Don't really care about championships or the season, but I think there's some interest there in them playing. At least that's my thought.
Can you save the comment from William May on the CFL, guys? I just want to say that our face-off regarding junior hockey, brought to you by the Mad Greek. For the best authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery, head to themadgreekeatery.com for more information. Or the Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, caps, jerseys, caps, and team apparel. They are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, built by fans for the sports fans in southern Saskatchewan. Yeah, and it did flip off. So William May's comment about the CFL, can you put that up? He's a P1 viewer. William May says, if the CFL don't play this year, they will lose more fans, and they can't afford to lose fans that drive the league. It is a major, major vice pinch conundrum that the CFL is in, because, yeah, they have to play. But if they can't get fans in the building, and what anybody credible is saying, it's not going to happen until Labor Day at the earliest. And even then, you're not playing 100% capacity. You just aren't.
No.
So how are you paying the players? So they're trying to get guys to rip up their deals and take less money. And a lot of them have. But that's a comment that came into our website the other day, rodpeterson.com, from one of the readers. Where's this money coming from that they're signing players to right now? Where is it coming from?
I know.
And the CFL really isn't talking about these things, so you don't know. So I want to, but yeah, they have to play or they're going to really lose even more footing. My God, they've already lost enough. I mean, people aren't even asking for an update anymore. Nobody's even asking. They're like literally out of mind now. They're talking more about Alabama, OSU.
Yeah.
And certainly the NFL than the CFL. That's catastrophic. But the CFL can't guarantee that there will be a season, because why? They don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know.
So anyways, we're going to get into way more of that tomorrow, because it'll be a football Friday. And John Frenzy is going to be with us, along with Tory Gurley, Justin Dunk, and we'll see what else comes up. Thank you to all the great commenters today. Especially you, Greg Clevgard. Thanks for the nice comments. Clark Gillies and Jamie Thomas as well. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central on Facebook and right here, Game Plus at noon. I don't know. This is not an online therapy session whatsoever.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.